Welcome to the Trailhead, where trails start and stories unfold. Welcome to the show, everyone. Now here's JD.
Welcome to the Trailhead. This is the biggest shit show in off-road podcasting, and we're off to the races because I was not prepared for today for some reason. You had to completely rearrange that then, Pope. You know you can set those up like Oh, she's back. What's up, Randy? All right. So let's see who we got tonight. We have Alyssa. Say hello, Alyssa.
Hey.
And I'm not going to make you move your camera, but I know Ezra is there. And at some point, he will have to be brought up for display purposes, but he's settled, so leave him be for now.
he's looking at me, but...
Oh, you're welcome then. I don't care. Anytime. I will always take a cute dog on TV.
Okay.
Ryan, how you doing, man?
I'm blessed, man.
Yeah? You have a... Did you get your Jeep back yet?
I do have a Jeep back. It is in the driveway.
Is it functional? Nice.
It is.
I never thought... I guess I was naive to think I can just run out there and slap on those coils all over by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. My shoulder... This is the first day it doesn't hurt. Holding up a coil over and trying to stick a bolt through a space that I don't know, engineers just decide to mess with you, and then making sure it goes through five different holes before it actually gets to where it needs to go is that was a task. Going up and down, yeah, it was fun. But I only cursed, you know, maybe a handful of times. I threw one tool. But no, they're on it, and it rides great. Super excited about it. It sits a lot better. Front end sits up higher. I think I'm going to get a lot more flex out of it. I had an issue where every time I took a right-hand corner, the traction control would come on and go into limp mode. And I think the pressure that it was putting on the rear axle when it would turn, because it didn't have any, backfill to it.
Yeah.
Was causing that, and I haven't been able to. That problem seems to be fixed, so that's good. I'm excited to see how they work this weekend. We're going to Gulch's and see what happens. So,
don't break it.
Don't break it.
So,
putting back the coilovers on, you get down there and you're like, oh, great, that needs to be fixed. That needs to be fixed. My hydraulic assist, I've already rubbed through the lines on that. I can see the metal on those, so I need to reroute those, obviously. It's always something.
Oh, yeah.
That's why we drive a Jeep. And, you know, some people, I guess, are smarter than us and drive Toyotas. Right? Never mind.
I feel like they work on those just as much as we do. They're quieter about it.
She left you.
And then she ran away. Right when I gave her the compliment.
She's like, no, I'm not doing this today.
She didn't. It wasn't about you. She was having issues with her.
She puts a message in the chat.
No. I take everything personally.
That's okay. That's why I figured I should tell you that so you knew. Yeah, you're okay.
As you should.
I don't think, if you're that thin skinned, though, you shouldn't be doing a podcast because that's
probably not.
We're in for a world of hate at some point from somebody.
I was going to say, if you've been a part of the off road world for some time and you're not thick skinned by now, I don't know what to tell you.
I'll give you that, too. Yeah. I don't think you can do this for any length of time.
No.
At any level.
No, but the JK is up and running and it seems to, I've been mall crawling it just back and forth from work today and it seemed to ride great. Took the great South Carolina roads pretty well. So that's I think I got that set up just because of that more than anything. So, but yeah, I'm excited to see what it does at Gulch's.
All right, good deal, man. Well, I'm glad you have a vehicle. It's I feel like every time we have a bigger roster of vehicles, we're doing better as a group. So I'll take it.
Yes.
All right. Let's see here. Pope, Randy, how you guys doing?
We're the opposite of Ryan. We're cursed.
It ebbs and flows. It ebbs it's a way, and
yeah,
flows.
It's, it ebbs and flows. Exactly.
We're getting it all out right now, so that's fine.
Yeah. There you go. Hashtag cursed.
No, you're getting it. I like Randy's take on it. You're getting it all out before like the big summer season hits. Get it all out of your the problems, and then there you go.
Yeah. We're just, well, and I mean, the boys over at Impulse are taking care of all the stuff. I've got like an insurance adjuster coming over and other things. And then we might be sending it to Alabama to do the cage. So for Motobilt might do it. So we'll see what we're going to do. We're just like working out all the details right now. So she'll be up and running at some point again someday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pope. Well, any new developments this week?
The JT was running with the new motor.
Mm-hmm. Where's that video?
I'm waiting for them to send me one from America's Most Wanted.
It's the money shot. It's like, the money shot.
That's what I told. That's what I told them too. I'm like, that's the money shot. Show it to me. They're going to be doing some testing and tuning the next couple of weeks, and then it's going to be shipped back to me. So it probably has, I'd say, another week and a half or something there. Then it's got to go back to Impulse to kind of do some finishing touches that we didn't quite have time to address after the rollover. I got a new hood. We need to transfer all the old hood stuff to the new hood, and we didn't quite get there. But considering everything they've had to do, I'm pretty impressed anyway. Oh, now we lost JD.
Oh boy.
Yeah. But we're on the path to recovery, right?
Yeah.
So how many rigs did you guys have? You have total of three.
You have three Jeeps, yeah.
So one unfortunately a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
One's getting the
engine.
And where's the other one?
It's in my driveway.
Yeah.
It's drivable. Oh,
so you still have one drivable vehicle.
Yeah, and it takes me to work. It's the pavement princess that he keeps trying to take off road.
That's the one you won't let him take off road at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we do every once in a while hologram. Like if we've been a long period of time where neither of us have wheeled, it's like hard to say no when our friends, like we miss our friends and we're like, well, let's just take him out. It's just 5 mile. And then we end up breaking him. It's awesome.
So what you're saying is by Saturday, you're going to take it out.
I really need one to drive straight to work right now. So
one of our friends sent me a car crushing event. I'm like, dude, let's go take hologram and do some car crushing. She's like, with our luck, you're gonna slice all four tires.
Yeah, like what is wrong with you? Like, no.
Yeah, don't do that.
And Billy, no.
Yeah, it's pretty wow. Fun. I'm like, that sounds fun though. If I had Misfit.
Oh, if we had Misfit, we'd go drive over cars. That would be so fun.
I don't give a shit. I'm driving the Gladiator over cars.
Yeah, see, I don't. That's something I don't want to do. I just don't. There's way too much potential for damage for very little reward for me.
Every time a smart car's in front of me, I just want to drive over it. Like I just am like, I swear it would just be like a boop boop. But weird little dark fantasy. I have
enough flex to stick my driver tire on the top of a Mini Cooper.
Yeah.
I park next to one every day at work. I'm so tempted every time I see it.
Well, let this insurance claim settle and then you can file another one later. Yeah.
No, it's not going to happen. It's just something inside of me wants.
How do I explain that one? Well, I didn't quite see where it was. It was dark and it's a black car.
My steering locked up and I was backing up and I...
Yeah, none of that works now because you have you're on a podcast, so all of that is out the window at this point.
Yeah, darn it.
Yeah, sorry, man. That's
you're
one
telling
of the...
me that none of you have the feeling every time you see something little that you just want to drive over it.
No, you don't I do have all that the time. That's a different
and
discussion.
I place my tire here.
Yeah, right. I'm not going to drive over a smart car. It's not going to happen. I'm just saying, like, there is that urge.
She will. Just wait.
She will someday. When you have three Jeeps and you have a vehicle you can do it with, you will.
They'll put an old Tesla in the run over me pile.
Yeah.
I want to see how strong a Cybertruck is. Can we drive? How far up the Cybertruck can we drive a Jeep?
I know, that's like a ramp.
Yeah. I'm not real. You know what? I don't know, because it was supposed to be able to take like a bullet, wasn't it? And then he whipped a baseball at it, and that was all it took.
Yeah.
They can crush fingers though. The trunk.
Oh
yeah.
Have you seen that? Yeah.
Oh yeah. The safety. Ugh. Yeah, because it's all automated, right? Like you press a button and it closes on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's what happens when your employees work 16-hour days. You get quality that's crap, and people start dying. You need to quit abusing your employees, Mr. Musk. You have a really bad track record of quality right now.
Yeah, well, I think that's he's following the capitalist playbook. I mean, for it's as much output as you can for as little as, you know, as little quality as you can get away with. And the problem is that he might run his company into the ground in the meantime.
I'm okay with that.
I mean,
how's the puppy?
He's good. He's right here.
Oh.
I can get him.
Okay.
And I'll let him
take
a nap. I think
Randy would protest if you did not.
That's way better than politics.
Yeah.
See, this is why we got Randy around. Because Randy can bring it back.
So let's talk about dogs.
I don't think.
Yeah.
Dogs and Jeeps.
Let's talk about dogs and Jeeps.
He is a bear. I just need to meet him someday. Oh, my gosh.
He's just a little bear.
He's just a little bear cub.
And his ear stood up. I'm so glad you guys saw him last week with his little floppy ear.
Wow, he's getting big.
Cute. Did you ever get party hat? My one friend's, like, when it was puppy, it was like, for some reason, it like had this moment for like 2 weeks where it was like a party hat. It would like stick right in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just for like a couple of days. I don't know if it's going to change, like if he grows a little more. Okay,
yeah.
Say bye.
Say bye.
I don't know, but right now he's just up.
Wow, he's as big as you are.
I know.
Yeah.
He's like half my size already.
Oh my gosh. And he's 11 weeks. That's insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just over 11 weeks.
Wow.
So.
He's huge.
We'll see what happens.
He looks mostly like a dog. Kind of bearish.
Right. Kind of bearish.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he'd scare the hell out of me if I saw him in the dark.
Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to encounter that dog.
Good boy.
I was gonna say, when he gets full grown, what is the biggest Toyota that you can overland? Because I feel they need a bigger rig.
You've seen those Tundra. Earth roamers. I'm sure you can get any Toyota she wants. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'll just tell my insurance, like, look, for my service dog, I need an Earth roamer. It's legit.
Yeah, there you go.
My doctor said.
If you can get away with it, I am here for it. Like, I'll help you with supporting documentation if it'll work. I'm no way qualified to make those decisions, but I would try to help it.
But you're like, we'll sign a petition.
There you go. It's power of the people.
In me.
All right, cool. All right, cool. Well, I still have a Jeep. I wanted to go out this week, and I was getting ready to go out on a bunch of trails that are right near here, just kind of do a little bit of a shakedown. And we're all under mud closure now, so I have to wait. And I will probably go to someplace down south next weekend. But everything's still running fine. I haven't encountered any more issues. So fingers crossed that we're still good.
Wow, you guys have the same kind of restrictions that we have that is in the most of the areas. If they're really muddy and it's not like a normally a muddy mud-wheeling area, like if it's a muddy forest trail or something like that, it's off limits.
And we just don't have mudding. So when it gets muddy like this, we just have to shut it down because people tear
either
through it or get stuck.
I guess there's a couple of places, but as a general rule, we don't have mudding.
No.
Yeah. So it sucks, but it's understandable. Like the mud here is so much different than even what I've encountered in Utah or any place else out west. It's a different. For a while it's thick and soupy, and then it gets real, real thick, and then it just stops everything. And it's amazing, but, we'll get everything. It's usually only a few weeks. And then once, it gets a little bit more melted up there, they'll let us back up there. And then, I've got some mapping to do in my backyard, so to speak. So we'll just kind of get my feet wet. I feel like it's been forever since I've actually done some work on the trail, and I'm ready to do it. So it'll be fun.
Nice.
Cool. All right. Well, this week we actually got a new review.
Yay!
We were up to the Magic 13 on Apple, and this is from Jack. Love the show. Started four-wheel off-roading a few years ago with my daughter as a replacement to dirt bikes. We're now up to two WJs. Show format is great. Not corporate or filled with a bunch of commercials. Just good people having a good conversation. Also passed along some good tips from the show to my daughter. A lot of good lessons from the Gem Dirt Nap. Would like to hear about the show. Would like to hear a show on general builds of vehicles. And that's on my roadmap, guys. We'll do a show where we'll just kind of break down like some of the more specifics of people's mechanicals and stuff on their builds. But in the meantime, Jack, thank you very much. I saw your Instagram, and I will hit you up for an address to send you some stickers and get you entered in the swag pack for 50 reviews. If you are unfamiliar, and I can't believe that you are at this point listening to us, if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and shoot me a message, I will enter you in the 50, excuse me. And when we get to 50 reviews, I will give away a swag pack. Each review that you leave will enter you into that. And then, we'll give it away. We've got a gang switch panel. We have some t-shirts. We've got whatever else we managed to get in there between now and then. Hopefully we'll get some more, vendors and stuff that want to pitch in some stuff. So, and Jack, as much as I don't want to turn this into a commercial endeavor, we will have a commercial at some point in the future, because at some point I would like to pay for some of the things that are coming out of my pocket.
Yeah, I was gonna say he knows we're just not that cool yet, right?
Oh, I'm sure. I think that's his way of trying to say like try to stay cool, but like I hope he understands. Yeah,
hope exactly. Your expectations are very high.
We still have bills. Yes. Is what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be rich or anything, but we still have bills. So cool. Yeah. Leave us a review. My review offer stands if you leave a app review for Trails Off Road and send a screenshot of that as well. I will give you a second entry into the swag pack giveaway. So awesome. And, guess what, folks, we have, another voicemail.
Hey.
So, I will say this, he has now become a regular. And at this point, I believe Nathan is our biggest fan, and I'm here for it. So
he should just come on an episode.
The door is open, man. Come on out. So, all right, let's give this a listen here.
God, you're more annoying than a creative voicemail message.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Leave a message.
Joe is on a vacation far away.
Yo, 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 1, 4, 8, 3 to the 3 to the 6 to the 9, representing the ABQ.
Oh, shit.
Hey, guess who's back again? Listening to the podcast, figured, got me thinking after hearing the story about the rollover there, and I'm glad to see that everybody was okay. Got out unscathed there. What, in your guys' opinion, is some of the biggest things people overlook when they get ready and go off-roading? Or maybe, you know, just that unpreparedness that they go out with. So, for me, I've been wheeling my Gladiator with 35s for about 2.5 years now. And as of yesterday, I finally bought a spare tire. So, I've been gambling with that for quite a while now, that I would hopefully never have an issue and need that spare out on the trail. And, I guess going out probably around once a month on average, I've been pretty lucky and I haven't needed it, but planning some farther trips from home this year, and I was no longer willing to take that risk. So that's definitely the one that has been my big red flag that I've been taking with me out on the trails. So interested to see what your thoughts are on the next show. Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Nathan.
I like that question.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of turned it into tonight's discussion topic. So, before we real quick, I'll throw to one of you guys here in just a second. If you want to be like Nathan, and I know you do, leave us a voicemail at 719-408-0132 and be on the show. You can also hit us up at thetrailheadnetwork.com. Anybody want to tackle that question first?
I can tackle that question first because I just had, I feel like experience you get about a second after you needed it. So with my rollover, I would say the one thing that I took for granted and didn't really pay attention to, I think I thought about it a lot more when we first started, was strapping everything down in my Jeep. It haunts me that we didn't have that strapped down. So I would say for preparedness, keeping everything as strapped down as possible in your Jeep. So that's mine.
Okay. I'd say I would go, I agree with Randy there. That was the biggest thing. We described it as our, as the back of Randy's Jeep got yard sailed, basically. Everything that was in there was on the ground. But in terms of your question about, or your comment about your spare tire, mine is a decoration and Randy's kind of is too. And the reason I say that, yeah, I have it with me on the Jeep. It probably isn't going to stay there, but if I actually did get a flat tire on the trail, I have tire plugs and something to, take care of that. Now, if it, like, I've seen people shove 6-7 tire plugs in the sidewall of a tire, get it to take air and drive off the trail. I would probably do that on the trail and then get, grab my spare tire at the end.
On the trailer.
I'm not going to keep the spare tire there very much longer, but it is there for, a weight balance type of a thing. That's mainly what it's there for on my Jeep, but I'm going to switch some stuff up this year.
Okay. Well, and I think the spare tire is almost, a spare tire is kind of dependent on what you're doing. And Nathan,
right.
If you're just doing short trips at home with other people and the people you're with don't necessarily mind having a spare tire for you in case you pop something, then it's not necessarily a big deal. But I understand if you've been running it for 2.5 years and you're finally like, I'm going to start to do some long distance trips and it's time to get my own spare. We definitely do different
type of stuff. And that has a lot to do with what we do. We're kind of becoming more or less trailer rigs. We're not going to be driving them home. So, and they don't necessarily go out for the whole long adventure anymore. It's just right. Not exactly the same.
And yeah, I'd love to drop the weight on mine. Go ahead, yeah. Ryan.
I was going to say, you also got to be aware of what you're running. If you're running 33, 35, you know, those sidewalls on those tires aren't going to be as tough as a 42. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to take the abuse of a branch or a twig or a log poking through it. And if you've never run a tire patch and you've never done it, you need to practice it. It's not something you want to figure out on a trail.
No, they're not. Once you figure it out, it's not easy. You have to kind of force your way into it. So you might want to know what you're up against.
Yeah, but just go get a crap tire and just practice with it. Put a hole in it and plug it up. If you don't want to run a spare, but yeah, I think a spare is just. And I think for new off-roaders, I think it's just etiquette. Especially mm-hmm. when you're going out with people, you know, you need to be able to go out and save yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't need to be depending on other people. Now, if you got a buddy or two, that's going to go great. But, you know, if you're new to off-roading and you're going out with a club or a group, you definitely need to take your own, but you need to know your tire and your limits and what terrain you're going on.
42-inch tires are damn heavy, by the way. So there's that's another good reason to wait till we're on flat ground to go change it, because pulling that thing off the top of the truck might be easy, but you're going to take four people to get the other one back up on top. It's heavy, but
we're also not going to go all the way to Moab without a spare on our trailer either. Like, we're going to have a spare somewhere. We can find a way to get it off. But
Pennsylvania, you're going to have a lot more objects that can poke your tire out than you are in Moab or San Hollow or anywhere else. You may blow a bead out there.
It depends. It depends where you're at.
And again, that's a technique that I don't know if you should go practice, but putting that back on the trail.
Strapping it with a toe strap. At some point, you're going to have to do it.
Hopefully not, but that's a learn on experience moment. That's one you got experience right after you needed it.
Yeah, I feel like that's an accurate statement.
Let's just stick your finger in a socket and see if it's hot or not.
Yeah, no kidding.
I think all of us have probably encountered someone on the trail that we've needed to ratchet strap their tire back on, or like one case we had like two people pushing on the bottom, two people pushing on the top, and getting it back on there. Yeah.
So
it's still easier than changing it.
That's a true story. But yeah, so I think it's dependent on, I think the specific, to talk specifically to Nathan's comment about the tire, I mean, that's for you, it sounds like at 2.5 years is when, you know, it finally made sense for you to spend the extra dough to have that spare tire. I ran a 33 inch spare tire on a 30 when I bought 35 inch tires for probably a year, and I should not have done that because I was using it every day and I needed, and I'm out there by myself on a regular basis, and I figured I can just limp off the trail and it would have caused a lot of damage if I'd done so. I think on that front, I would just say make sure you know what you're using your spare tire for, and that's, if you're using your spare tire, if you think you're going to need your spare tire, make sure you have it. So,
yeah. And lesson learned, I had a spare tire the time I actually needed a spare tire was a 33. It was, I put it on the stock wheel. Of course I had four aftermarket wheels. And so the time I needed it, I was like, great. I got the spare, slapped it on, started going down the trail and just heard scrubbing. Because don't put it on your stock wheel, because the offset of your stock wheel and your aftermarket wheels are different.
Yeah.
So I slapped that on there and I was like, what is that? I put my hand behind the tire and no, there was no space. It was just rub all the way. I was like, well, so for years I had a spare tire on the back of my Jeep, but it didn't do it. It did no good.
It didn't do nothing.
That's a good lesson too, because I see that a lot where people have like done all these nice builds. And then they still have the little tiny spare on the back.
Yep.
And
it ain't going to do you no good.
That's a good point.
Like, you may as well just get like one of those little toy tires and put it in the back to make a joke out of it.
Might as well, yeah.
So, all right.
Yeah, I ended up having to come home, get a trailer, and go back and get it. So,
yeah. That sounds about right.
Did nothing.
Ryan, you ever have anything that, like a spare tire? You always carry a spare tire, right?
I do, yeah.
Okay, and is there? Go ahead.
I got a 40 on the back of my JK. So
damn, that's gotta be size. That's a lot on your door, isn't it?
Yeah,
it hasn't broken yet.
Wait, are you running a stock carrier?
No, I got the TerraFlex whole panel,
the whole brace, HD Flex thing. Yeah, the whole thing.
We have like the modal. We have the modal built version of that on Randy's Jeep. It's. You need it. You can't just run.
No. Oh, no, I know. I've got the 35, so it's a separate carrier.
The TerraFlex actually says stop at a 37, but it's not broken yet.
Their lawyers probably made them say that.
Yeah.
Their lawyers made them say that, and their lawyers also probably listen to this podcast. So and how are you doing, TerraFlex lawyers?
Good job, TerraFlex lawyers.
I'm going to get a letter in a week.
No, they're going to put it in your file in case you ever go to file warranty claims. They're just be like, nope, this one's, we said no to this one.
No.
All right. Alyssa, you have a spare tire, don't you?
I do. Yeah.
On the
mine's
vehicle.
It's under the truck. Just barely fits. I had to cut my exhaust to fit it. I do have a full spare and wheel. Yeah, all the wheels and all the tires are the same.
You're running 33s? 5?
34s? Technically 34.
Leave it up to a Toyota. Stick it in the middle.
No.
No, she's just measuring what it really measures at. Like, there's no 34.
I thought they were like bigger than 33s, and then someone was like, oh, that's a 34. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably just a 33, and they usually measure weird.
Size.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Metric.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine are, what is mine? 285, 75, 17.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Yep.
My Mickey 40 made my, when you look at like a Mickey 40 versus like a Nitto 42, they're almost the same. The Nittos run smaller. It's weird.
Yeah.
All right.
That is weird.
Well,
yeah, so, and I to my point, I think Alyssa, you know, as you go out, you go a lot of overlanding by yourself too, as well. Like, you have to be in the position of saving yourself. Or you're in trouble.
And a lot of times, once I get to the dirt area, I'm with a group, but it's the 6, 8, 10 hours of crossing highway to get there. And I've done a lot of highway by myself, which I'm not too nervous about. But the only time I have blown tires is on the street, whether it's like the heat from the summertime or it's just like nails. I've never, knock on wood, never like blown anything on a trail. So, it's just
my only times have been from stupidity.
We haven't ever had that either.
No, the first time was on Argentina. I was running too fast and hit a rock and popped that tire. And then the second time was in Grand Junction. So I was in the desert, and it's a place where you wouldn't expect to. But I ran into a piece of driftwood, and it punctured the side of that Duratrek. A dull knife could puncture the side of a Duratrek. but I was lucky that the tire held up as long as it did, because I've told that story before about how it held up for like 3 miles or some stupid shit. And it was a bad day. It was a good day to find out how strong that tire was, at least on the bottom. So, all right. The takeaway for the tire piece is just be aware of what you're doing and whether or not you need one. Be aware who you're with. But that led to Nathan's question, led to the bigger question of how do you balance the thrill of and just off-roading with a need for safety and preparedness. And I feel like we should probably preface this whole conversation with one more disclaimer of what we're about to each describe is how we handle the riding that line from safety and preparedness and just staying at home under our blankets and never going out into the public is wholly dependent on what we do when we go out off-roading, our experience levels, what we're willing to take on in terms of risk versus reward. And those are things you're going to have to take into effect too. So if you're listening to this conversation, just be in mind, these are all our personal experiences. These are our individual takes on it. So don't be stupid.
I'd say we have four different styles of wheeling that we're going to go over here in a moment. So,
I think it's perfect too. Yeah, exactly. Alyssa is the pure overlander. And then we're going to give Randy and Pope the rock crawlers. You want to stick with rock crawlers? Ryan, what would you describe yourself as?
I get the rock and the mud. So
rock
in
the mud. And you like to bounce around too, right? Are you a bouncer?
No, I don't do that mess. I don't run a V8 full throttle and just hang on for dear life. You want to talk about safety? That's probably out of my comfort zone.
We found out where Ryan's line is today.
I may have to try it out. If you're going to strap me into a roll cage, I better be strapped down real good.
What I just heard is that Ryan won't drive a monster truck.
Do you know how scared I am about this Hemi that's coming our way? Do you know how scared I am?
Well, I guarantee it won't turn into a bouncer. So I don't think you're going to get it to that point.
Yeah.
How do you figure that? How do you figure that? Is that just not possible, you think, with the 392 or what?
No, it's just the kind of rocks we have.
One, I think the rocks, and two, I think Randy has a little bit more sense about him than just hammering it at the bottom of a hill and just seeing how far you can make it up.
Right, I have that much sense, but I did it last weekend while I rolled on Chewy. So, you give me a lot of credit for being able to control this man.
I've been married for 18 years,
and I know what I married.
Well, I do think Pope likes his Jeep and his Gladiator. Pretty.
He does.
You know, enough to not send it all the way.
I'm totally kidding.
So,
no, I would build something different for that.
Yeah, right. A full roll cage and a one-seater and a five-point harness and just that's it.
Yep.
And I think to the question, I think you got to preface the fact that we enjoy it. We enjoy what we all do. At different levels, different areas, different spaces. We enjoy it. We thoroughly enjoy what we do. If you don't enjoy four-wheeling, don't go do it. Because you're not going to have the confidence to catch yourself in situations. Yeah, you're going to get hurt. I mean, heck, I grew up riding dirt bikes, snowmobiles, ATVs, everything else. It's the same thing with all of it. I grew up skiing too. Don't go skiing and get scared because you're going to get hurt. Or snowmobiling, same thing. You got to enjoy it first and then be able to grow with it, find the limit. Hopefully you find the limit before you push the limit, Randy.
She's going to fly out there and smack you.
No, I'm not. I'm going to get a middle finger picture
later.
Yeah. All right, fair enough.
You got to enjoy the thing and you got to be able to, I mean, we do it because we enjoy it. We test the limits. It's not like we just go out there and send it. Yeah, it does. And it's not like you just wake up and go like, hey, I'm going to go send it and just see what happens.
I can guarantee you that not one of us have ever had that situation. No. Not one of us have ever gotten home at 3 o'clock in the morning after a day like that and said to ourselves, you know, that's exactly how I wanted today to pan out.
Yes.
No.
Yep.
So, you know, we're not going out there to harm ourselves.
It's a memory and it's going to be interesting. But no, it's, yeah. I think you have to really like it.
You have to really like it.
You're not going out there to harm yourself or your Jeep or anyone else. You're going out there for the adventure of it.
We do like to go push that line of just about stupid, right?
Sure.
We like to, there's something that Randy and I just have to do out there. We have to be somewhat in danger of being off camber or getting stuck, needing to gas it.
The challenge. We want the it's not necessarily
the danger, the challenge, right? But we have to balance it by a combination of what do we know how to do?
Mm-hmm.
Who are we with and what do they know how to do? And then do we have the equipment to do it?
Right.
And a lot of in most cases, we're two out of three. We have the equipment to do it and we have somebody who knows how to do it.
That's usually better numbers than I'm putting up.
So then we go out and then we can go learn. With this type of sport, we rarely are out by ourselves. Randy and I can go out together. We know what our maximum skill levels are. We're not going to go beyond what we can do when we're out together. But if we go out with our friends who do this stuff a lot more than we do, we're willing to go out and learn. That's where we learn.
Yeah.
But we learn on our own a little bit, but it comes down to, at this point, we have a lot of technique that we know. When we were first starting, we didn't have any techniques. I would not recommend you just go out and try to drive these trails that we're driving out here without having someone who knows what they're doing to help you.
And then you do the next.
You progressively build it up, but it has what am I willing to do? What do I know how to do? What's the risk? Usually I don't really want to risk rolling over. And so I'll avoid stuff where that happens. I do actually though, if you see my videos, if you see them on my personal Instagram, you see them on thing. I love gassing up a hill and launching it and sending it. That's my style of wheeling. I think it's a lot of fun and it's slightly different than what Randy likes to do. And I've done a lot more of it and I feel comfortable doing it. And if I didn't feel comfortable, I wouldn't send it. And I don't like to send it into a situation where someone's going to be like, oh, fuck, that damn Pope screwed up again. I don't want that to be the case. And so I usually try to limit the safety element with what I know how to do.
I mean, you're going to know right away if you make a bad call and you know, like Randy, you had an accident, like it's an actual situation, just maybe judgment played a part to it, but it's still one of those areas that kind of stuff just happens. And so unless you're like Pope and you're dropping over into every, you know, Forest Service road ditch to flip over your Jeep, then, you know, it's a different beast.
Like, and Randy was doing something really sketchy and I probably would have seen that. And I would have maybe, because I'm in the Gladiator, I would have probably said, nah, I ain't doing that. And I would have picked a different line completely. And Randy felt confident that she could do the same line. I looked at that and I said, that's fucking insane. I'm not doing that. But I didn't have a choice to have a car there. But if I would have had my car there, I probably wouldn't have done that line because it just, I would have maybe gone slower or something different. Because Josh likes to go. He just fucking sends it. And he's a lot more used to it than we are.
I think Josh is watching right now, too. So, Josh, we're talking about you. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
He fucking sends it.
Fucking
Josh
sends it.
Josh even says, like, you saw what I did and you decided to do it. So.
I mean, there.
It's all right. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll just.
Yeah.
I'm not criticizing you, Randy. I'm just saying I would have. That's just. I would have chickened out. That's all I'm saying.
We all pick
up. I've never. To be fair to both of you, I never would have done that at all. Like, that's completely outside of my comfort zone of what I've been comfortable doing. So,
it's the funny thing is, I want to take my friend that drives his XJ Dirty Desert Fox. I think he would do awesome on Pritchett. I think he would have a lot of fun on it.
Yeah, but he wouldn't take that line. But anyway,
yeah, he would.
Yeah,
he wouldn't take that line. So, that's not my point. My point is that he would have fun on it. But anyway,
I mean, you talk about the lines that we all kind of cross. I mean, you got to also know, I mean, we've all stood our, I mean, Randy and Pope, I know you guys have. I've stood my JK up. I've stood my TJ up. You know, you gotta, you gotta inch your way into stuff like that if you're really rock crawling.
Yeah.
And figure out where the line is. It's kind of like popping a wheelie on a dirt bike. You gotta know where the balance point is. You gotta feel it. One of my biggest challenges is I drove a stick for years and it was always easy just to slam in the clutch and let it fall back down. Now I gotta figure out how to pop it in reverse and, It's been in my mind every time I go wheel this JK that is a transition I have to have. If it does just pop on me, I got to be able to shift it faster than just thinking I'm going to push in a clutch. You know, and I can't let my old reactions be my new reactions. And so it's just practice in it. So
I could see that being totally, because I have to, like, before we go up to an obstacle that there's even an option that might happen. I like literally I have it in manual and I do this like a few times, put it into neutral just so it's in muscle memory. And it's like, I didn't do it last weekend. I was trying to, it didn't happen, but it is something that you practice. Like, I have to get it mentally in my head before I come up to an obstacle. I might come back, and if I do, here's neutral.
Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta know where, you gotta know how to get yourself out of situations.
Yeah.
And sometimes, unfortunately, you have to fully fail to figure that out. I mean, I think we've all either watched somebody do it or been in that boat ourselves and laid it over, flipped it over. But it's just practice, and it's being willing to learn in every situation. Totally.
So where's the, Alyssa, where's that line for you? Since, you know, you and I are a little bit less of the crawler, you know, mudder kind of a off-roader. What's what's the safety line for you? People, rigs, in general, obviously we're not talking about every specific instance here, but just in general.
Yeah. That's tough. Well, I don't know.
What would be the
different things come to mind? So,
what would be the stopping point for you to say I'm out in terms of people weren't going with you? So, is it can be 100 degrees in the desert, or, you know, like those kinds of limiting factors for being by yourself out in the trail?
Oh, like by myself, not like in a group.
Yeah, I think obviously, I think you and I are kind of in the camp of the majority of the time we're gonna be at least. If we might be with a group in some way, shape, or form, but we might be by ourselves at least more than half the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I tend to be with a group. But I think y'all kind of know, like, when it is hot out, when we're over 90 degrees, it's not as safe for us or our dogs. Like, when we're out, if we're on a trail and, like, you were talking about how muddy it is now. If we can tell it's going to get muddy to the point where it's going to be a problem, if you just don't push it and turn around.
Right.
There's been times like we've gone through like Moab, and we've done Moab trails. And I remember doing Hell's Revenge and picking and choosing like which obstacles. Cause even though like the others were doing it, I was like, what if I'm the one that doesn't make it? And now I put them behind by a few hours, or I damaged something, we have to get to camp later. And I don't know. I'm just like,
well, it's just your feeling, and it's just your feeling of comfort level. Like if you've never done obstacles like that, you might not necessarily want to make that Saturday the first time you do.
And get the fact that you have to
drive
it home or drive it back to camp really plays into the risk you're willing to take at that point. And it's a fair thing to say. I mean, it's the factor that we would consider ourselves when we're driving our Jeeps. Yeah. Is this going to be the thing that keeps me from bringing my Jeep home?
I have that conversation on a regular basis.
And then, I have a question for you too. That you can, that when you, I feel like for you guys, the biggest risk that you're going to be taking is that you might find yourself in a situation where you have to survive and you have to have survival techniques. Like, how are you prepared for that kind of stuff? Or is that one of your biggest concerns? Or am I just over blowing that one out of proportion a little bit? Because I feel like you could get stuck in the middle of nowhere and then you have to survive.
Yeah, that's accurate. I mean, like when we've gone through like Colorado and Montana and Wyoming, we have to prep for bears. And then out here in the desert, if you get stuck, you have to have enough water to get you through. We have to think about those additional things too. We're not just going out, hitting a trail, hitting McDonald's on the way home, going home. Like we do have to also think about the sleeping and sleeping and food and the other people, and then do the dogs have enough water before we have enough water and stuff like that.
I think for me, I'm kind of in the same boat. I know a lot of my storage space is that kind of disaster planning kind of I'm paranoid. I'm just a paranoid person to begin with. So it's real easy for me to go to worst case scenario real fast and kind of play that out and have all those things. So I have a lot of safety gear safety gear that I purchased that I don't carry anymore, but I tend to go out over prepared. So when we were talking with the Colorado 4x4 rescue guys, they were talking about 3 days of food and water. And that's for the most of the time, if I'm going more than, 30 minutes or 40 minutes from the house here, which puts me outside of kind of the Front Range area of Colorado, I'm going to have all of that with me to have that with me. I carry 2 gallons of spare water, 2 gallons of spare gas. Those are all kinds of things to just kind of help keep me out there in the event that the Jeep rolls over or something, and God forbid I don't have access to my satellite messenger, or I don't have access to something and I need something to keep me alive until my mother-in-law is like, they have not come back yet. And it's 7 PM. And my daughter has not texted me. Where are they? I try to kind of prep as best I can. There's more planning and prep that goes into trips that are further away from home. And I think part of that, like, I think they tell you that, remember when you were a kid and they told you, most of the accidents happen within 3 miles of your house or some shit like that. I think it's kind of, and I'm sure that we'll get someone who disagrees with me. And if you do, please call us at 719-408-0132. But I feel like that it's almost a little bit of the opposite is true where, depending on where you live, if you are closer to your home, you're closer to kind of your home base of off-roading, you have a better knowledge base just when you go out there in general of what you can and can't do, because you've probably driven it before. You might be closer to cell phone service. You might be closer to other things that kind of play into it. I think the solo planning stuff and the disaster preparedness is really going to come in on those long, long trips. But I'm gonna pump this one more time, guys. If you are going out by yourself in any way, shape, or form, get yourself a satellite messenger, get yourself a transponder of some kind so that you can call for help if you are up by yourself or you only have one vehicle with you. It's really inexpensive compared to the peace of mind it brings you.
We had something like that save us on the trail. We had to have Starlink help us with the get trail meter out there.
I can do a more expensive version of that. Yeah, exactly. Starlink is very expensive.
Thanks, Modal Building.
I was gonna say, I think last time we talked about this, someone said, like, oh, don't the iPhones have SOS? And I think they do have SOS, but that's what you're limited to. You're limited to swiping your SOS. Those satellite phones, you can text, you can send your location, you can maybe not call. But, like, there's a lot more features to those.
You're right. You can give a lot more information to first responders. So especially if somebody is hurt, right? And if you send them a message and be like, you know, I'm stuck, and somebody has a deep gash and they're already they're going to know then to send that mm-hmm. extra level of support, maybe send out a helicopter without just sending out regular search and rescue.
Show that one more time, JD.
This one's from Spot. And there are there's a couple of other ones. I've posted some on the website before, but just any one of them that's out there, Zusk is a dating app, I think. there's something with a Z.
Satellite
phone. I mean, whatever you want to do with yourself, but just make sure you have a satellite messenger.
I have a Garmin InReach.
There you go. That one's nice too.
I have a little InReach. They come in different sizes, but I have a little one.
The next step to that is weather. I would, for anybody.
Yeah, paying attention.
I'm a weather freak, and my wife gives me heck for it, but if she was going off road and she wouldn't look at the weather at all. especially out in the West Coast where you get flash floods, it could rain, you know, 4 inches, 20 miles away. And then you have a problem where you are, where it's been sunny all day. Weather, I think, is one of those things that people forget to check.
Avoid it. I don't want to say it. Go ahead, Lisa.
And I was going to say that too. Every summer we have flash floods just from monsoon season. And every summer we always lose people. And every time the ones that are rescued say it was blue skies, no clouds or some clouds, and out of nowhere, like their phones, I think even if you don't have service, if there's a flash flood, you'll still get a warning on your phone and it'll say like flash flood. And you're like, oh, but there's no rain. And then suddenly like a flood will come through, and every news story, it's so sad to hear. Like friends and family say, we had no idea. And then they'll show the map and they'll show how like the water will run from, like you said, 20 miles away.
Yeah.
Even 50, even 100.
And I want to touch on that because it's funny you mention it, because that is now, I work for a cable company. That's my day job. And I actually do emergency alert systems. So all those emergency alerts that go out during the day, I do a lot of that work during the day. You can't get an emergency alert if you don't have service of some kind. You have to have at least kind of that base roaming level service. But if you do have it, you'll get a notice. And the only reason I bring that up is because there are places in Utah that I know of, especially like in the Swell, you get in those canyons where they're wash canyons, right? And you're not going to get any service down there. You're not going to get any notices. So if it's cloudy and it looks a little darkish, more so than just overcast, you probably don't want to be in the canyon that long. So does anybody have a weather, like, is there a weather app that's offline, like satellite powered, kind of like one of the InReach teams?
I know really InReach. Heard of it. I think InReach. I think the Garmin has it.
Like an overlay of some kind on the actual device?
I think so.
Okay.
I think they do. I feel like I've used it. I'm going to have to play with the app and see.
All right. Well,
that's the weather like channel on the ham radios.
I was going to say, I think on the radios, I don't know how much, I don't know how much information you get, but I know there's like weather on those radios.
Well, if you don't have any information, then weather that repeats every 15 minutes is still weather that's more current. So
it's true.
I would take it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Check before you go.
Definitely. Yeah. And if you have ham radios, you should add the weather channels. There's, I think, 6 or 7 of them that you could possibly encounter in any particular area. You should add those to your frequency list.
That is an awesome nugget, and I will make sure that I add that to the show notes, and I'll make a clip out of that too. Cool. Thanks, Bo. All right, cool. So real quick then, let's see here. I've got a question along those lines. The Spot is not something that I had when we first started going out. This is something that I added. There are things that I had when I first started that I don't carry anymore. One of them is a portable toilet. I used to carry that, and I have a lot of fun stories around that I'm not going to share today. But I don't really carry that very often unless I'm going on a long trip, like I'm planning to be out in the middle of nowhere without access to a bathroom. What is something that you guys don't carry now that you brought with you on one of your, on some of your first trips?
Treadboards.
Yeah. No. I could see that for you.
Really?
I want to. I'll buy your old treadboards.
It's not our, like, it's just not us. Like, we don't do anything like that.
We don't do anything where we would be, where they would even.
But they
be
look so cool when they're strapped to the side of your vehicle.
And I agree, because I like that Baywatch aspect of, like,
the Baywatch aspect.
it reminds me of the Baywatch Trek with the treadboards on the side of it. You know, yeah, that's something we used to have that we don't bring anymore. We've never bothered to bring them even once.
All right.
Anymore. I mean, we brought them the first probably what, 5, 6, 7 times, and then all of a sudden we're like, we don't go anywhere where it's even muddy.
We have a wench, and I could probably wench myself out of this. I don't mean, like, I don't know, treadboards, but they looked really cute because they were green.
Well, they get a color match.
Accent
everything.
Colors.
Yeah, yep. There you go.
You never had a problem with sand? Sorry.
Mm-mm. No, go ahead.
Well, I've been axle deep in sand, and we did not use treadboards to get me out. So,
just lower air pressure in your tires.
Well, again, I think treadboards are for situations of where you're trying to get more traction for sure. But I think more you're either solo or with one or two other vehicles, and you need that extra bit of traction to get underneath the tires.
And that's more like overlanding and mud situations. Like, the kind of mud situations we're in are totally different than the situations of being like on long stretches of things and stuff. So,
yeah. All right.
Ryan, what's your thing?
Yeah. You asked the question and it's actually hard to answer. I don't know. I've been doing this for like 25 years. So, you know,
so you're old.
Like, yeah, I'm old. First of all, I'm old. Second of all, I feel like I've kind of gone the opposite direction. Like, I used to take nothing with me. And then...
I think there's a lesson in that, Ryan. I think there's, like, a lesson to be had.
And then
yeah.
I keep adding stuff. It's like, oh, I should probably have taken that this time. Or, hey, maybe next time we should take this or that. But, yeah, I'm like, I don't know. Growing up where we grew up, it was 5 minutes out the back door. So it was like, we didn't care. You know, you just make a phone call. Heck. I remember another question that you had sent earlier that sparked a story is, you know, we had buddies that were like, hey, 11 o'clock at night, hey, we're going to go four-wheeling. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, my phone goes off. My roommate's phone goes off, you know, and it's like, all I hear from across the hall is I'm not answering you.
And of course, I know what the problem is, and I don't want to be any part of it.
And of course, I'm the guy that's like, man, I feel bad, so I'm gonna answer the phone. So I was like, hello, and you hear this break up, like, hello, we're at the they're climbed up a cell phone tower because every single one of them is stuck out in the middle of nowhere. And it's like, oh, you know, you make a phone call and somebody comes and rescues you, you know. So it's yeah, it's. I think in my career, it's been one of those things that I was a minimalist when I first started wheeling, and I took nothing, and I've just been adding things over time. So, yeah,
all right,
I'm more prepared today than I was when I first started. How about that?
I mean, there you go.
Well, and I think that's the best way to learn what to take too. Is we take once we've had a problem, we sure as hell have it. And
yeah,
and I mean, saw it dump out of my Jeep last week, so now we're gonna
it would have been a lot less expensive for me to take Ryan's approach to things than to just buy stuff and then not need the materials later. I sold a lot of stuff on Facebook.
Like, we thought we were potentially wasting money on our air up and air down stuff, and that turned out to be something we use all the time, which. Yeah.
I think that the number one thing you can be to do is have an air up and air down system so that you're not useless. Like, everybody else is going to have, if you're going out with a group, everybody's going to have everything else.
Yeah, exactly.
And they can help you air up and air down, but like that's just the first thing you're going to have to do. You're going to use it every single time.
One of the best things. So, shout out to ARB because I had been having an issue with their dual air compressor wasn't filling my tires past 20 PSI. I hit up their, it's out of warranty, and I hit up their support and they sent me a brand new pressure regulator and it's working great now. So, but it's been in there for 4 years and it is hands down one, probably, you know, up there with the Carabiner as far as my top, you know, five upgrades is things that I use on a regular basis. I have zero regrets about the amount of money I spent on it. And it's just something I use every single time. And the only difference, the only thing I've added or changed to it was I added the Thor's Lightning to it so that I could air all four tires up at once.
And I do chuckle at the industry of airing up tires at the moment. Like it is a full on war about how fast you can air up your tires. And I'm like, okay, so great. For anybody listening, you don't have to go the $500, $600, $7,000 route. Go to Harbor Freight, get yourself a battery-connected air pump, just something to make sure that you're taking care of yourself.
You can. I will tell you this,
45 minutes later, your tires will be
full. Who cares?
Well, that's not, you know what? And it's not just, I care. But I will tell you this, I blew through like three of those before I finally invested in a good air pump.
That's the problem.
Our tires can't handle those little shitty pumps.
Yeah. That's the only problem.
Hey, this is the minimalist growing here. So
I'm a maximalist.
No, I'm with you.
I will spend money on garbage I've spent.
Right.
That if I took all that garbage money that I've spent, I could buy a good air up and air down system, the one thing that's going to need to use every single time. Right.
There is a theory for buy once, cry once. So, you know.
Now, don't get me wrong. If you can't afford something, you can't afford the big pump, just get yourself a good pump. That's all you got to do. Just make it happen.
Or go to the off-road show and look at it.
Well,
and then go home and make it.
Or have something to be able to air down. And I know a lot of people who air down and then drive to the nearest gas station and air up. I don't care. Like, I mean, it happens.
That's
like
a system.
I used to do that. Something
to be able to air down. Like, at least understand the mechanism of airing up and airing down.
I think the first time we were out there, we're sitting there with a rock trying to air the tire.
Well, we thought that we brought our air. It's a whole story. But I'm just saying, like, at least have the ability, because usually you can get to a gas station close to some of these trails and stuff like that, too. I'm not saying you have to have an air compressor. Just have the knowledge and ability to be able to do that yourself.
A stem removal kit is like $5 at AutoZone. Just don't lose it when you take it.
Just an air compressor with a gauge. Yeah,
like these big sausage fingers. I'm not trying to not lose one of those in the dirt.
That sounds like a really bad idea because you know what? You're going to lose that sucker. Just get something that you can put it on there and it has a gauge and it tells you where you're at and just like let the air out.
All right.
There you go.
And yeah, well, you know, what's funny, Ryan, is that all of there is this ground war on these air pumps going on right now.
It's insane.
Meanwhile, Power Tank is just quietly making CO2 cans that fill up air, you know, fill up all four tires in like 35 seconds.
And that's another thing that you should just go over to the off-road show, see how it's made and then go buy it and go make it yourself.
Oh yeah, exactly. Although they are currently running I did get a wind that they're running a batch of yellow tanks,
I have a 15-pound red power tank. You have never seen it on my Jeep or never out in the wild. I've never used it
because we've never filled it up because it's really hard to.
Oh, see, there's like we can fill. There's like 15 places to fill it up within 2 minutes of my house.
There's like one place in Salt Lake that sells beer making equipment, and some place in St. George that we could get it filled up at. It's just not convenient. So it's the only reason I never used it. In fact, it's for sale if you want it. Hit me up on DM.
All right, I'll hit you up. I mean, it is red, but I can make do. Can you vinyl wrap a power tank?
I'm sure you can.
Okay. Josh, who is watching on Riverside, thank you, Josh, He would like us to know that a friend of his once had a doctor who referred to as Dr. Sausage Fingers. And he was a proctologist.
Is that Rubus Dina on there? Yeah,
of course it is. I believe he's our only audience member currently right now, but I'm okay with it. So
I think our live died.
Yeah,
it did. It died at 50 minutes. So we're going to have to figure out what to do with that at some point in the future.
Josh is hanging out.
He's good people. That's why.
You know. Dr. Sausage.
He'll have to join us next week or something.
Yeah. Like, I know he was supposed to join us a couple weeks ago. I don't know what happened. I forgot to ask you afterwards, but we don't need to get into
Randy
that right
told
now.
Him to go to hell.
I did right. not.
Today
I love Josh.
See, and there's out the truth. Today I like Josh. He's okay. He's all right today.
I have many feelings on Josh. It ranges from a 0 to a 10, and it could be like 0 to 10 in like 4 minutes.
I'm looking forward to meeting Josh. To spending time with Josh, because I have a feeling that I'm going to have a very similar reaction. So with good friends in my life,
Justin, James, and Jason, and Josh, it's the J names that... They're horrible. They're up and down all the time.
Piss off. What are you talking about? Yeah, I don't need that kind of negativity in my life,
J
Ryan.
People? No.
You say you got most of the Bible books down.
No. Yeah. Those J names, man.
Sorry for all the scrunchly licorice bag noise.
Nah, you're all right. I forgot to have a mute button. That one's easy to cut out later. Cool. The only person who has to put up with it is Josh, because he's watching. All right. So let's see here. Let's go down to the next question I got. Can you share a time when you were unprepared? And then what did you get to prepare yourself the next time out?
I think that we need to start with the times we were prepared. So that would probably be a lot easier to find.
Yeah, truth.
Just kidding. Okay, anybody else?
I mean, I think that's fair. I think, you know, for me, it's one of those is that tire thing. Like I have struggled with, I like my Duratrax. They're a decent tire, but they have really bad sidewalls, and I have paid for that twice now. And I think the thing that I found myself unprepared for in Grand Junction was repairing my own sidewall. And I also found out that my jack didn't work that day. Like everything stacked up for me in ways that, when I got home, I was like, okay, I need a better jack than I have. Because obviously this one cannot sit in the back of my Jeep. It's going to fail after a period of time. And I need to start checking on these more. I need to make sure that my gear is working on a more regular basis. That could have been it was a long day, but it could have been a lot worse if I hadn't run into some help that day. So, anybody else got one like that where they found themselves without the stuff they needed and now they are overprepared in that direction? I mean, Ryan, I feel like this is a tailor-made question for you.
Yeah, I mean, what story do I tell?
Just one. We just need one. We don't need all of them today.
gee, many crickets. The one that comes to mind is it was a buddy and I and his girlfriend. We were just like, oh, let's go four-wheeling. Okay, it was just us. And we weren't far from town, but it really was one of those things we just underestimated what we were doing. And I drove into what I thought was a dry little lake bed area. It was not dry or still a lake. It was definitely a lake underneath. I spent the next hour trying to get myself out. I was buried. I had like a little hole that I was looking through, just mud flinging up everywhere. And the funny thing is I drove to the center of it like I was joking. I was like, hey, we're mudding. I put it back in gear, pressed the gas pedal. It went down. And I was like, I'm done. And I spent the next, it was the three of us just rocking it back and forth all the way out, doing 360s, rocking it back and forth every 5 feet just to get out of where we were. And after that, it was like, well, I guess I'm probably need to buy a winch at some point in time in my life. That would be the one that comes to mind. It really was one of those situations where we're just hanging out and been there a million times. And we just, honestly, the older selves would look back at my younger self and say, well, you disrespected nature
And nature made sure you knew it. Yeah.
You effed around and found out, buddy.
Yeah.
And that's really what it was. I mean, you know, I buried that little TJ up to the frame, and yeah, it took forever to get out of there. But I mean, we'd have got help, but it could have been a really long day.
Yeah.
It was cleaning it, but
oh, come on. Sorry. I have a story I'll tell one day about Michigan DNR roads and that. Alyssa, what's something you started out carrying that you don't carry anymore?
Oh, we're going back to that.
Did I have that backwards? Are we? Yeah. What page are we on?
Good. Okay. I was gonna go with the Jack, like a Highland Jack story, but
yeah.
Oh, go for the Highland Jack story. I'd rather go what you're prepared for.
That's fine. No,
don't mind me. I've been drinking.
Those death traps. You don't carry those around anymore.
I did not want a violin, but I don't know if Pro Eagle was a thing yet or if they were new, but too expensive. I don't think
those
they were
have been
a
new
thing.
In the last couple of years. Yeah.
Okay. This was like maybe 6 years ago. It was my first trip going through Utah, like leaving here, going through Utah. It was just me and my boyfriend at the time. I was mostly stock. I had tires. I had the air compressor, but like no lift or suspension or just like box up. I knew I had the stock jack, but just in case I wanted to get the high lift jack, just to be safe, the store said if I don't use it, I can return it. And I was like, that's great. And that was the road we were on, I-70 in the middle of July, and blew my rear tire like oof, flat in 5 seconds. Really grateful it was my rear tire, not my front. And yeah, we pulled over. We were on I-70 leaving Moab, so I had cell service, and I called DPS asking just for a trooper to sit behind me, because I didn't know the speed limit could be 80 miles per hour. Like in Arizona, we max out at 75. That one was 80, and everyone was going 90, and I'm in my Tacoma. Like, we can't do this.
It's been a culture shock when you first get introduced to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, okay, we're trying to keep up. And it just the heat did it. They were the old KO2s at the time. So I guess they were known to blow. They fixed that problem now. Yeah. So it was like, cool. Bought the high lift jack. Don't want to use it, but we're going to have to use it. I could not crank that thing to lift the pin. Yeah. I haven't used one in forever. I don't know if it was the pin or the little ear. It was stuck. And then the trooper that came out to sit with us, he was telling us about his Jeep, and his brother-in-law has a Jeep, and then his dad has a Jeep, and they do all this stuff. So it was like, cool. Thank you for watching us. He let us try for like 45 minutes, and he was in his air-conditioned car, because this is July, in his air-conditioned car, like watching us fail at not getting the thing up. We tried using the stock jack, and it wasn't tall enough, and I don't know. We were sweating and a mess, and he finally came out, and he was like, don't tell anyone. And now we're on a podcast, so he was like, don't tell anyone. We're going to use the jack in my trunk because I can't wash this anymore. So he gave us his like police trooper jack, and it was like a Pro Eagle one. It just like, whoop. Yeah. And then we changed the tire in 5 minutes, and whoop. And I was like, that's it. I'm buying one of these things.
Why didn't he just do that in the first place? He like let you sit and struggle for that long.
It's a liability thing. It's a liability thing. Yeah. They're not supposed to let her. That's the reason he said he let her struggle with that for a while. Because he's like, I got to let her struggle with it so she never says that I let her do this with my chair.
Yeah. And he did come over. He was like, we all have high lift jacks in our family. He was trying, and he was like, it is not going. And I was like, I have WD-40, like I don't know how to help you. And he was like, I cannot get this high lift jack. And what's really annoying is the store that I bought it from, we practiced with it in the parking lot, so it worked.
Oh no.
But it didn't work, and I don't know. So even he came out and tried and was like, yeah, sorry, let's just use mine. Like, thank you, got it done. So I sold it once we got back, and
I mean, a high lift is not for everybody. It's just
I
it's
am
not.
Terrified
it's
of
also
them.
A decoration.
For a lot of people,
they do
it
look
is.
Pretty. I just yeah, think I needed one pretty. Because that's all I was seeing mm-hmm. on other cars. And then I watched a YouTube video on how deadly they are, and I was like, I don't need them.
The shin breakers.
Yeah, man. You've got to, if you're going to use a high lift, you, you know, we had Matt from On Trail Training on, and he teaches a class on how to use those properly and how to make sure that you, because you, they're an extremely versatile tool, and they do a yeah. lot of work. They have been in the industry for a long time. They found their, they were farm tools first, right? So they're well known. People use them every day without getting hurt, but you need to know how to use them. And,
yeah.
I'm not so sure that, you know, somebody teaching you in a parking lot for 20 minutes is going to be enough to get you nope. started. And it's not, and not for me knowing what I know about them. And the only reason I carry one is because it's regionally appropriate for what I do. And we're back to where are you going? What are you doing? And what do you need those kinds of recovery tools for? But nine times out of 10, I don't think anybody really, actually 9.9 times out of 10, I don't think people really need a high lift.
No.
No.
And I'll tell you guys this because I'm fear of getting shamed, but I still run one. It's right there, actually.
I'm still running one too. I'm actually re-adding mine now in my life.
It's all I've ever used, honestly. I mean, back in the early 2000s, it's all you really had for anything 35 and up. Like,
well, and if you don't have $600 or $1,000 for the AGM or the other Mojar, I think is the other company I saw out of Moab that making one now. I mean, it's still a $500 or $600 unit.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that kind of money, $100 high lift is a decent bridge to get you there. Because when you get to the end of it, you're going to be able to resell it on Facebook for $100.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it's the same
a
thing.
Can and spray it and
yeah. Don't rattle can and spray. That's probably why Alyssa's didn't work anymore. Somebody hit rattle can and sprayed it, and it was locked up.
Yeah,
Alyssa, did you rattle can and spray it?
No, it was brand new.
Okay, just asking. I'm just asking. Very cool.
I will say that when we did try it in the parking lot, I could not. I wasn't strong enough or heavy enough to, lift the car. Like, the dude was doing it, and then he was like, okay, now come try to. And I couldn't do it. And he was like, put all your weight in it. And I was like, I don't feel comfortable putting all my weight in it tipping.
Right.
And I don't know. It's just not.
You do have to have
small
a leverage
female friendly.
Yeah, you do have to have leverage on it. You better put your boots on if you're going to use it.
Yeah.
And you better watch that other leg.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Don't.
And your feet.
You don't really want to have to use that on a day you chose to wear shorts.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Yeah.
Let's see here. All right. Anybody else got an answer for that one? I honestly don't remember what the question was.
I don't know.
Bring that we don't bring anymore.
Yeah, things we bring that we don't bring anymore. Anybody else got anything before we move on to the next one? No? All right.
I have a ton of camping stuff that I've phased through to figure out my style, but that's not off-roading.
I feel like we could do a whole episode on camping gear. Like, I feel like we should do a whole episode on camping gear at some point. All right. Let's see here. What's something you guys check now before you go out that you didn't used to check on your vehicle?
My steering.
Power steering.
My power steering is off. Like, if we stop, I just glance at it. I just give it a good little.
When we flex the mount that we flex and some of the stuff that we're doing with our steering is kind of new and experimental and custom.
Right.
We have to check tie rods and drag link quite frequently. That started actually Vernal with my Gladiator. 2 years ago, I was out there, and it's actually one of the reasons why we have crescent wrenches that are big enough to tighten those jam nuts is because I was out on the trail. Some dude looked at it, he's like, dude, your steering's not even tight.
He's like,
he goes over, tightens it with his hand, and he goes and grabs a crescent wrench and tightens it correctly for me, and it stayed tight the rest of the trail. But we've been having issues like that for a while with this stuff. So that's something we check all the time is steering, which was something we would never even look at.
All right, Ryan, what about you?
Steering, I think that's the biggest thing that's failed on me lately, that I'm like
I guess, lack of better terms, anal about checking now. You know, I think one of the things that I've started doing now, especially with the new Jeep, because I'm still learning it, is actually getting under it and looking at what's leaking and not just being like, oh, tires are good, you know, oil's good, tranny's fluid's good. Actually crawl up underneath it, see what's leaking, see what's new, see what's dented, what'd you puncture, what you know, and so forth. Ooh, I just knocked my camera.
Josh makes us check every bowl underneath our Jeeps, too.
Yeah, as you should.
I mean, it's not a terrible thing to do after a run, especially for what you guys do, right? You're twisting. Yeah. You're really kind of testing the ends of those torques to make sure that, you know, and those the edges of those bolts, make sure that everything's holding on to.
If your Jeep comes off the ground at any point in time and it comes back down, you need to be checking all that stuff.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. Yeah. Before and after, I think that's a good thing.
If you're hopping at all, it especially the front end, as much as it hops and shakes and
like it's already hopping a lot when you're doing 80 miles an hour on a Utah road.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you,
our highways are rated 3.
Yeah, they're not fantastic. They're definitely 3s most of the way through. I'm not gonna lie. Alyssa, what about you?
I always check my bed rack and rooftop tent because that's moved before, okay. And that's scary. And then I will sometimes after I wash it, I'll look at all the alignment points and where my mechanic has markered chalk. Okay. It's not chalk, paint markered, bolts. And okay. I like make sure everything is still lined up. I don't physically check. I should physically check them, but because the marker is there, I don't.
I mean, I think that'd be one of those things where maybe you do that once a quarter or something like that. Like just as a kind of a, yeah.
We do it on new builds all the time. And then after the build's established, we kind of only check the markers, but like on the new stuff, we're literally out there checking it, even if the paint's still lined up.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the other one for guys running beadlocks that I'm shocked that people forget is, you should be torquing your beadlock bolts every 200 miles, something like that, I think is what they recommend. So if you're not torquing them, I think what I got a set of methods, and they call for 20 foot-pounds every 200 miles. So, I've had guys that run beadlocks for years and be like, you're supposed to check those things?
Probably.
So I'm in a bit of a unique position. Before I get on and off every trail, before I go out to do a trail, especially if I'm going out to map a trail, I'm getting the vehicle washed before I do that. So whether or not I'm washing it at home or I'm washing it in a bay somewhere, I'm washing it because when I take pictures and video, I want people who are looking at my guides to get an accurate representation of what kind of dirt they're going to run into on that trail. So if they see me start a trail and the Jeep is clean and it ends completely covered in mud, then it's going to tell you a little bit something. You know, what that has allowed me though is a bit of insight into the vehicle after I'm done with a run. It gives me a good opportunity to get underneath it, to wash underneath it, make sure to see what I might have hit, to see what I might have scraped or scratched one, but underneath there. I need to do a better job of checking bolts. That's a good one. That's a takeaway for me today. I need to get under there once in a while and just kind of make sure that everything is tight. And I'm not doing the same thing you guys are doing, but I'm still, it's vibrating, you know, it's on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
A lot of mileage on it.
Absolutely. Well, you get a lot of washboards, I would think.
Yeah.
Out there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know you get a lot of washboards.
It's a bane of my existence. And it's a legitimate problem. To that end, one of my big things to check before I go out on the trail is just to make sure everything's tight. I'll run around outside the vehicle, make sure that lights aren't, you know, getting shaky, parts aren't looking like something's just hanging off, like just that basic visual check. I feel like there's a lot of time people just get out on the trail and they haven't done, like they didn't look underneath there to see if just their muffler was hanging on by a dear life or not. Like they just did the basics. So yeah, just do a quick visual inspection. I think before and after the trail is always going to be good for anybody. But not your suspension, Josh says. Josh, no, I'm specifically not going to look at my suspension now just because you told me to.
Oh, he's way down there.
Yeah, he's way down there at the bottom. So.
I do like the washing thing. I mean, besides seeing like where you damaged and your leaks and things, overlanding-wise, you also don't want to carry dirt from one region to another region.
Oh, that's a really good call too, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's you know, it's not necessarily as big a deal when you're within a state. But for instance, we did a week on Drummond Island, and the last thing I would have wanted to do would brought something from Colorado to Drummond Island, where I just dropped it all over the island while we were there, or brought something back from Michigan into the Colorado ecosystem that didn't need to be there. That's a really good point. That's how we got beetle, the Asian beetles or whatever the beetle kill that we started getting here in Colorado. All right. Good call. All right. Let's see here. I feel like we've burned enough time, guys. So you feel like we're done today?
That sounds good.
I feel like I'm tired. I'm tired. Everybody else tired?
Man.
Done with all of you guys. Well, so let's go around the table though. Before we go, anything else that you want to add for our kind of our quick discussion on stuff we should or shouldn't bring, or stuff we thought we should or shouldn't bring in the past and bring now for safety and preparedness?
Coolant and radiator hoses.
Well, you've been championing that now since episode one. Yeah.
I still do, and we still bring them.
We bring fluids of all sorts, but that's just like the ramping up things. Just like you said, we're getting older. We've had certain things happen to us.
Had a radiator hose get sliced open on the trail, needed coolant and a hose.
That twice. We've had that happen twice. So now it's just something that's in there, you know.
And it'll never happen now that I have extra hoses.
Exactly. Right.
Oh, well, shit, I mean, it'll probably happen now that I have a new motor and my hoses don't work anymore.
You have to carry it at least for 6 months after you get the new vehicle. That's or you get the new engine back. That's all.
Yeah.
After that, you might be able to start phasing it down. Like,
I'm pretty sure we can adapt what I have to whatever.
If you're carrying like a gallon, then you know, bring it down to like a half a gallon, and then just keep reducing it.
We have everything you need, but what you need.
Yeah.
I think that's how we roll.
No truer words could ever be spoken.
I think everybody listening to this right now can relate to that and having that at the moment where they're like, because I know that I could have really used the glue tread that I really wanted when I needed it in Grand Junction. So it's you have everything you don't need in the moment you don't need it.
That one wrench you forgot to throw in your bag. And totally. It's like, oh, I need that 9/16 now. Yeah. And I don't have it.
I have one. Trying to keep one of Bender's wrenches in my garage right now.
I had two. I handed him. I don't know what was wrong with me, but he's like, I need a 10mm. So I handed him two. He lost both of them. Well, both of my 10mm. I could not find them. They're like, where's the 10mm? I just had it, and I'm like, I don't know. I gave you two. You had two shots. Like, why did I not just hand him one and then the other one? I don't know.
I am pretty sure that I have at least 45 10mm wrenches and things. But I as of today, I can only find one of them. So I'm pretty sure that they go to a black hole someplace.
Yeah. They go to the same place the socks go in your dryer.
Maybe. If it's at the bottom of my engine bay, then probably, yeah. That's what my fear is. I'm always going to drop one of those and then I'm not going to know where it went. It's that moment. It's that moment where you hold your breath when you drop something and you can wait for it to hit the garage floor. Mm-hmm. So it went all the way through on the bottom and then it doesn't. And then you go, oh, it's going to be a long afternoon. All right, cool. Ryan, got anything?
Yeah, I think, one, to feed off what you said, like when I was putting on coilovers this weekend, every nut or washer I dropped always fell in the one spot that I couldn't find it, that I had to drop everything to get up and actually look for it. Be like, oh, it fell all the way underneath the tire. Great. You can't just fall like right where you can see it. It had to fall 5 feet away.
It's the world's shittiest game of Plinko. That's what it is.
It's the most dumbfounding phenomenon ever.
Edition.
Yeah. No winners.
I think as far as safety and all that is, know your own comfort level.
And if you're not having fun, don't do it. If you're running that big of fear, don't do it. It ain't worth it.
Yeah.
But if you're enjoying it, challenge yourself. Find a line. Think about it. Don't do something just off the cuff. Think about what you're doing and try it. If it doesn't work out, that's why we do what we do. It's always just, that potential.
Yeah, think about what you want to do before you go out, right? And, prepare yourself accordingly. So if you're going to go out rock crawling, bring the stuff with you to go rock crawling. If you're going to go out overlanding, bring the stuff to go overlanding. If you're going to go out to do fins and things, then just go out to do fins and things. It's not hard.
Just do fins and things.
It's really not difficult.
No.
Just take your Subaru and go do it.
Agreed.
Yeah. Alyssa, what do you think? Anything left?
Like what's a...
Yeah, anything left for this conversation?
Yeah, I'll say winter time, right? Winter time, don't underestimate how many blankets you have.
Ooh, good call. Mm-hmm.
Jackets are one thing, but like blankets too. You can also buy those, the solar, foil ones. They're so compact and like a little baggy. Go stash those somewhere in your car just in case. Even if it's not for you, it could be someone's kid.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for you. How do you feel about the diesel heaters fad that's going on?
Wow. I've had one for 2 or 3 years now. I started with one that I made because it wasn't a thing. And then now it's a freaking fad. But they've gotten cheaper. I love it. I've done this 2 summers now where through the summer I'm like, don't chicken out. You don't need the diesel heater. You can stay warm. And then I'll break it out and I'm like, what was I doing? Why was I cold? I love my diesel heater. I use it all the time.
Okay.
In the winter.
So blankets and the diesel heater then.
Yeah, if you want to diesel heater. I will say this because I told so many friends this because I've done a ton of research. Or I did when I was making mine. You don't need to buy the $1,000 diesel heater. The $100 one, $120, $130 on Amazon, it's the same. It works the same. It's fine. It does what you need unless you're like van lifing it and you are using it daily, then sure, get the more expensive one. But if you're
Josh
honest with yourself,
the brand
and you
is
go
Vivor.
Out,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, oh wait, that one on Amazon is affordable. There's the Planar one is the yellow and black one. Dude, that thing is
$1,200. I'll hit you up later and I'll add it to the show notes.
No point. Okay. Yeah. That's just my opinion.
Okay. I was just curious. You brought up blankets. I feel like all I've seen in the last 6 months to 12 months are diesel heater, diesel heater, diesel heater, diesel heater. So
it's because it's so easy to buy. Yeah. I wouldn't do it, but it's so easy to buy a ton of the cheap ones on Amazon, stick them in Apache cases from Harbor Freight and sell them as like a kit.
As a kit.
It is a lot of work. That's how I did my first one. It's a lot of work. But I mean, hey, if you want to try to make a profit out of it, go for it. And that's what a lot of people are doing.
I don't have that kind of time. We have a podcast.
I don't. Yeah. yeah, it's a lot. Okay. But I mean, I like them. If you do get them, though, get a little CO2, whether it's square or mine's a circle, a CO2 reader. Can't smell when there's a leak. And if you are sleeping too hard, get a reader for your tent or your car, whatever you're using.
Yeah, CO2 detector, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So my thing is wintertime, never too many blankets. Get a little solar one or the foil one. And then year round, you can never have too much water. Not just soda, Gatorade, something, but like you can never have too much water.
Yeah.
But you never know what's going to happen.
You never know. I 2 gallons of water and I carry with that 2 gallons of water is over and above the water I brought for the day and the water that I brought for, whatever else we're doing that day. That is solely for the purpose of keeping extra water on hand. So, all right. I think that's a good one. I think mine is going to be, since we're just talking kind of safety and preparedness, I'm going to stick with this one. I'm going to keep bringing this one home because for the solo folks out there, if you're going to go out solo, go prepared in some level, bring yourself, get yourself a satellite messenger, tell people where you're going to go. Kind of those basic kind of just let people know where you're going to be, and then have a way to get yourself out of the situation, even if it's just as simple as being able to call for help. So, cool. All right.
Truth.
I feel like that's enough for today, guys. I think we're good. Let's get out of here. You guys want to do a party shot?
Here, here.
All right. Here. Booze. Cheers.
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 All right. Thank you all very much.
By the way, I got to point out my Gamecocks right there. So there you go. Cheers.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, on that note, we will see you guys next time. Thank you all so much. We'll see you guys next time at the Trailhead.
See you guys.
See you soon.
See y'all.
Bye.
All right.